praise God. Now, when Brother Lou got the Holy Ghost in this altar last Sunday morning, I asked him afterwards, because it is common among folks in certain areas of the world that they are multilingual. He speaks, his native language is French, several dialects of Congolese. His English is very good. But when he got the Holy Ghost down here, he spoke in something he'd never heard before. And it's just exactly like it happened in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, I was glad to tell Lillian when she was asking, because she said she felt that moving already, that in Acts chapter 2, on the birthday of the church, speaking of birthdays, we have Amber that came on the bus today, and today is Amber's birthday. Well, stand up, Amber, and wave your hand so they can see you. There she is. And we're scaring her to death, but would it be a problem if we sang happy birthday to you today? Be okay. Maestra. Happy. Oh. Don't change in the middle. Oh, happy birthday to you, a happy, hey. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Let's give her a hand clap. Praise God. But I was glad to tell Lillian that in Acts chapter 2, on the birthday of the church, the very first time anybody ever was filled with the Spirit of God like they did, like they received in the New Testament, it was the fulfillment of what Isaiah had said in Isaiah chapter 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Praise God. And then 700 years later, after Isaiah had prophesied, some 600 years later, after Joel had said, in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. 600 years after that, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus had told the disciples, go wait at Jerusalem. I've told you about it. John told you about it. And now you're going to get that baptism of the Spirit. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses unto my name beginning at Jerusalem. And the Word of God said they went down from that mountain. They went back to Jerusalem. They were waiting there. There was 120 of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And she received it just like the rest of them. All of the original apostles minus Judas were there. There were 120. And on the day of Pentecost, the Word of God said, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and one accord. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Do you remember your Pentecost? Do you remember your upper room? Do you remember when it first came down on you? Praise God. And as they begin to spread the word, they spread it to Samaria, and the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost. They spread it to the house of Cornelius, and the house of Cornelius was filled. And the Bible said they knew that they had received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak in other tongues. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is at Ephesus, and he finds disciples. Birmingham's full of disciples that fit this description. Paul said, the apostle said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul knew you could be a believer and not have the Holy Ghost. And they said, we didn't know there was one. And he's really puzzled, because believers ought to have the Holy Ghost. Believers ought to have the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, he that believes, not like Martin Luther says, not like John Calvin or John Knox says, Not like the Southern Baptist Convention says, but he that believeth as the scripture saith. There's believers and there's believers. But he that believes as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his innermost person, being, shall flow rivers of living water. And John said parenthetically, this spake he of the Holy Ghost, which they that believed on him should receive. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we didn't know there was one. So he said, well, how are you baptized? And they said, well, like John was baptized, because Apollos had just been through there. He baptized the whole crowd. Ah, Paul said, that's how John was baptizing. He said, but now Jesus has come. And he said, and the Bible said, when they heard this, they were all baptized in Jesus' name. And then when Paul had laid his hands on them, they all received the Spirit of God, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utter. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord for the truth of the Word of God in this. Don't ever take this truth casually or lightly. Don't ever become inured to the truth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what an awesome day to be in the kingdom of God. We love interruptions. We love Holy Ghost interruptions. And we have long since cast away our bulletins and got rid of our schedules, and we want God to have his way. We have an idea about what it's going to be like when we come, but you can see, you just don't ever know. And isn't that great? The Bible said when they were in that upper room that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There's a lot of places you can go, they don't like things to happen suddenly. They want it all just exactly like they planned. They want to know before they walk in the door, and when they walk out, they don't want any surprises. But we really do want some things to happen suddenly. I'd love it today if somebody just suddenly got the Holy Ghost. Suddenly got a hold of truth that they had never known before. Suddenly came up and went down in the water in Jesus' name. Isn't it an awesome thing when somebody, well, hey, when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free, it makes me want to dance, 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 all night. Oh. When I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, when I think about my Jesus and how he set me free, it makes me want to shout, shout, shout all night. Yeah. Oh. Oh. Holy Ghost. Holy, come on now. Somebody can use you to make it cloud up in here and rain down Holy Ghost on Lillian. Somebody can use you to make it cloud up in here and rain down Holy Ghost. Go ahead. If you got the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language flow. If you got the Holy Ghost, be a conduit for the Spirit of God this morning. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. She's talking in something that's not known to her. Lillian speaks English and she speaks French and she speaks Vietnamese, but this morning she's speaking something that's not any of those. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, hallelujah. 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 I wish somebody just go ahead and get loose in the Holy Ghost this morning. You may not leave the spot you're standing on, but I wish you'd go ahead and just let God move in your vessel. While other people are worried about impressing their world, while other people are worried about fashion, while other people are worried about popularity, there's somebody that's bringing people to the house of God, and they're worried about somebody's soul more than they're worried about anything. My God, Lillian and Elena are winners in the house today. Psalms 24. If I was bound up, I'd get loose today. If I was tied up, I'd break free today. If I was chained up, I'd have him break the chains. My God, what a morning to go free. What a day to step out of this church house and say, I've been made free by the power of his word and the power of his blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to return to our normal broadcast. Psalms 24, beginning in verse 1. Everybody say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The psalmist is bringing to the table the fact that it all belongs to God by virtue of his creative power. He made it. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Praise God. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. God bless you. You can be seated if you want. That's right. Let's clap our hands and give him praise and thanks for the word of God forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. What's the Holy Ghost saying? My God. Holy Ghost talking to anybody in this house right now? Praise God. Praise God. We were discussing Wednesday evening about this conundrum here in this 24th chapter, the fact that there's this question that is a bit of a challenge and presents the conundrum of mankind. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord or stand in the holy place of God? Because we all know ourselves and we know that there's not one of us that's good, not one of us that's by him or herself eligible to stand in the presence of God. We understand that nobody in this house today but sinners. There's nobody in this house today but sinners. The only difference between people is either you're a sinner with the blood on your sins or you're a sinner without the blood. But we're all sinners in the house today. And the question is, who can stand in the hill of the Lord, or who can ascend to his holy place? And we were talking about that, and in the language of the temple, that means Zion, or the temple of the Lord. Who can move into the process of God and at the other end stand in the Shekinah presence of God? Who is able to stand there? Praise God. And that's a question that presents a problem for a lot of reasons. Our sin, our failures, our past, the fact that God is invisible, that God dwells in unapproachable light. And we dealt with these scriptures on Wednesday night. Isaiah said, "You're a God that hides yourself, O God of Israel." And the prophet knew God very well, but he was having a hard time connecting with him sometime. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul declares that God dwells in light which no man can approach, 1 Timothy 6. And who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who can stand in his holy place? Yet we find that God fellowships with sinners. And God goes to Zacchaeus' house and has dinner. And the little woman with the issue of blood makes her defiled and unclean. Yet she presses in and touches him like nobody in the street that day. A lot of people were touching him, but only one touched him so that virtue could flow. She touched his deity. She touched the God inside the man. And she was defiled and she was unclean. But there's something about this God that he lets unclean people come into his presence. It's a puzzle. It's a conundrum for us. The word of God said, Let us boldly go into the throne room of God. He couches it this way, Hebrews 4. He said, "We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly," or "let us go boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." There's an invitation. There's this suggestion that we are not able. The question says, who is able? Who can ascend? Who can stand there? And we know in our hearts tell us every day that we're not worthy to praise God or worthy to seek God. And the devil's always telling us that. And some of you have people that are telling you that you're not worthy. But I still see this Jesus that is socializing with sinners, and this God that lets a little defiled woman touch his deity, and this invitation, go boldly into the throne room of God. It's an amazing thing when you think about David and the fact that God let David repent of a non-negotiable sin. There was no sacrifice for adultery. But David, after praying in Psalms 51, God, in the history of the word of God among his people, he would measure every next king by David. Every succeeding king, he would measure them by David. And he would say, "They're not like my servant David, who loved the Lord with all of his heart. They're not like David, who obeyed the word of God faithfully. They're not altogether like David." And you want to say, "God, but David was fallen and marred and he was a failure." But there's something about that God that he's got the curative power to let a sinner into his presence. Praise God. This is a problem because the holiness of God demands holiness. I mean, the holiness of God says, "I'm holy, you be holy." The righteousness of God demands that there be some kind of a sacrifice, or that there be righteousness in its presence. And the justice of God demands judgment. And they all, with legal voice and with power, all demand and are owed that debt. As we come before God, we ought to be righteous and we ought to be holy and we ought to be offering up the right sacrifice. And then that's a requirement of the word of God. And so we've got a problem. But David and Paul, and we talked about it a little bit Wednesday night, David and Paul give us some interesting insights. In Psalms 27 and 5, David said, "He hides me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He who dwelleth," Psalms 91, "in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Psalms 32 and 7, "Thou art my hiding place." Praise God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says to a new, brand new Gentile church, he says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Praise God. And the answer to the conundrum is that he hides us. The answer to the conundrum, to the puzzle, to that contradiction there. How can a man enter into the presence of a holy God? How can a man, like David, we say, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? How can we make our way into the presence of God? But how often, he said, as he stood on the brow of Jerusalem, he said, how often would I have gathered you unto myself and hid you? And he draws the analogy of a mother hen and her little chicks. And when she's there and she's brooding over them, you can't even see them. You get down really low, you see a lot of little feet under there. But all you can see is her, because she's got them covered up. And God said, that's what I want to be to you. And David said, that's what God is. If you're going to dwell under the shadow of the Most High, you're going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, of the Almighty. God's going to cover you. And as I make my way toward, can you pull up that tabernacle plan that we had there Wednesday night? The tabernacle plan speaks of the New Testament plan of salvation more graphically than any other biblical reference. And as we were talking about it Wednesday night, as we in the New Testament stand on our side of the process of God with a desire to come into the presence of God and be relieved of our burden of sin, there's some problems there, because you can't even get into the house without justice and righteousness calling out for a sacrifice and a payment, and holiness crying out for holiness. And it's hard for us to come into the presence of God. The very first item you have to pass by when you come to the presence of God is a place of death and sacrifice. It was a requirement of God. Something had to die. The soul that sinneth, it has to die. But I want you to know the good news. When I came to the plan of God and I came to the process of God, and my soul was hungry to have fellowship with God, and I knew I couldn't get in, and I knew that I wasn't able, nor good, nor righteous, somebody met me there, and I felt him put his arm around me, and he said, you don't have to worry about the blame, because I already took the blame. You don't have to worry about the guilt, because I already bore the guilt. In that tabernacle process, before they ever got started, they took a first-year goat and they led him out outside of the encampment, and the elders laid their hands on his head, and he became the scapegoat, and all the sins of Israel came down on his head. And that was Jesus. The Bible said they led him outside Jerusalem. All the elders of Israel were there. They had no idea they were enacting that same historical type of the scapegoat. But they led him outside the city, and all the elders were there, and he bore the sins of the whole nation. And he bore my sin. He says, get in here close, son, because I've already got you covered. I already bore the sin. I already bore your reproach. And as we make our way in, I see a place of death. And I know that I've got to die because of my sins. Because the Bible clearly says, you sin, you die. There's no way around it. But he said, come here, get real close to me, because I've already got that covered. You see, he was a Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. He was a Lamb of God come to take away the sins of the world. And when they nailed him to the cross, holiness was satisfied and righteousness was satisfied. And all that called for my soul at the doorway of God, all of those clamoring voices were satisfied by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And as I make my way in through a New Testament tabernacle plan, I'm not by myself. But there's one there with me. And I'm telling you, I don't know about other parts, other places in life, but in this instance, it matters who you know. It's important what you know, but it matters who you know. You may not be a genius between your ears, but you've got a relationship with him. I'm telling you, he will hide you, and he will, by the motive force of his sacrifice, cause you to be able to walk into the temple of the Most High God. Who can stand in his holy place? Who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord? I'll tell you, you won't do it unless you hide in him. Now, the irony there is that, and you can see it in the first sinners, when Adam and Eve sinned, their first response was to hide from God. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam and Eve were hiding along the path there in the garden. And they said, well, we ate of the tree and we knew we were naked and we were hiding, and they made garments. They were trying to hide from God. But you can't hide from God, because God's everywhere. He sees, not only sees you, he sees your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. You can't hide from God, but the admonition of the scripture is that you hide in God. Come close. Let him cover you up. Let him bring you into the process of God. Let him usher you into a New Testament tabernacle plan where he's made a place of cleansing and washing for you. You know, somebody sitting here today, they might say, well, I'll come to God when I'm ready, and I'll do this when I'm good and ready, and when I make up my mind, and when I live my life, and when I settle my scores and all, then I'll come and live for God. But you need to know this arresting fact. Our church world has made it so easy for you to come. And they've said, well, you can just come any old time you want. Let me tell you something. Repentance is not your will being exercised. Repentance is a gift of God. Repentance is something that God gives us when God is ready to give it to us. You say, well, I can come to God anytime. Well, I read in the Word of God where Esau sought a place of repentance carefully and with tears and could not find it. It was not extended to him for some reason at the moment, or his heart was too jaded, or his mind was too hardened, and his senses were too dulled, and he couldn't find himself a way back to God. You need to repent when God rings the bell. You need to come to God today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. As I make my way in there, what am I going to say to God? How am I going to talk to God? Isaiah got in the presence of God, and Isaiah just cried out, oh, woe is me. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And what he's saying is, I can't open my mouth in the presence of a holy God. And he said, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. God took care of it in an instant. An angel came with a coal of fire off the altar and set it to his mouth. He said, there are your sins. I've taken care of them. When Peter saw him on the deck of the boat and that big net full of fish come on the boat, Peter's eyes get big as saucers, and he says, depart from me, for I am an unclean man. When you get into a presence of a holy God, it makes you know your own inferiority and your own failings and your own weaknesses, and you don't feel like you can stand in his presence. But God's provided a mediator for us. We're going to do that run, Adrian, in Hebrews. But there's a mediator for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God. Everybody say, there is one God. And one mediator between man and God. The man, Christ Jesus. That flesh that he wore, he was God in the flesh. But that flesh that he wore was the door. It was the veil. It was the way. It was the truth. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. And there's a little lesson here throughout the book of Hebrews on our mediator, or our high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. For we are made partakers, Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Everybody say, I have a high priest. That's not just the language of the Old Testament. But we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's not an earthly high priest. For a fact, he was not out of the lineage of the priesthood. He wasn't out of the tribe of Levi, but he was out of the tribe of Judah. But he's not a priest after the order of Moses and Aaron, but he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. A priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When you come to him, he understands where you've walked. The devil doesn't know that. The devil's never walked in your flesh, but God understands you. He cared enough about you to walk where you walk. They say don't ever judge a man unless you've walked in his shoes. I want you to know there's nothing you're going through that Jesus hadn't walked through. There's no pain that you've experienced that he hasn't experienced. Well, praise God. And he is our mediator. He says, come on with me. Hide in me. I am your representative before the presence of God. Come with me into the presence of God. Let us therefore, verse 16, everybody say, let us therefore come boldly. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You've got an invitation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got an invitation to come into the holy place of God. Come on, shake your finger at him and say, God has issued an invitation to you to come into his presence. I don't know what that does for you, but in the biblical account of Esther, just anybody couldn't go into the presence of the king. But that king had to extend that scepter, and he had to invite you. I want you to know there's a royal invitation in this house today. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has invited you to come into his presence. And the question is in your mind, how can I get there? How can I stand in the presence of a holy God? And your God has already made the way. He says, come hide in me. Come hide in my sacrifice. Come hide in my covering. Let me cover you up. Let me take care of all the details. You don't worry about all the hows and all the wherefores. You worry about doing what God's told you to do. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20. Praise God. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 and verse 17. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And verse 25 through 27. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Somebody say, I've got a high priest in the heavens. And he knows how I feel. And he's invited me to come in to the throne room with him. Chapter 9, verse 24, still in Hebrews. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We've got a mediator that loved us enough to give himself for us. We couldn't make our way into the presence of God, but somebody came to our aid and said, I'll build you a bridge of grace. I'll build you a road of mercy. I'll make a way for you to come into the presence of God. Don't you worry about your sins. Don't you worry about your weakness. I'll take care of that. Come hide in me. Chapter 10 and verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience with our and our bodies washed with pure water. Praise God. We have a high priest. Everybody say, we have a high priest. We have a high priest, and he is the light of that thing. In this natural tabernacle, there was a candlestick for the light. But my high priest, he is the light in that dark place. He's everything I need. In this normal physical tabernacle or temple, there was a table of bread for the priesthood to eat. But when I'm there, he's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my water when I'm thirsty. He's everything I have need of as I make my way into the presence of God. I don't lack one thing. You're not going to get halfway in and then you can't go any further. I'm telling you, when you make up your mind to go live for God, it's only your will that can take you out again. But if you have a heart to live for God, he's made everything available. He has made a way for you. Somebody say, he's made a way for me. Is anybody going to go in? Is anybody made it up in your mind that I'm going in? I'm going all the way. I'm going to stand in the high place of God. I'm going to stand in the temple, in the holy place. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And all the way into the presence of God, holiness is making a demand, and righteousness is making a demand, and justice is making a demand. But Jesus Christ answers every demand. And death is making a claim. And hell is making a claim. And the grave said, he belongs to me. But Jesus has shut the mouth of every one of those. And as we walk, I can hear the jangling of the keys in his hand. Because he holds the key to my grave. And he holds the key to my death. And he holds the keys to hell itself. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. This is real, folks. This is not just figurative language. I'm telling you, we've got a God that has taken care of every detail. Everything is finished. Everything is prepared. The way is already set before you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. He satisfies every one of those needs. Praise God. Praise God. You can stand if you want. I'm done. I can't finish, so I'm done. You know, sin stinks. Has anybody found that sin stinks? How many of you went out the night before and you partied and you juked and you jived and you were all up in the bar room and you thought everything was, you were so cool and wonderful. And then in the morning you picked up that shirt you were wearing. It smelled like something out of a fire cell. Stinks. Barrooms stink, full of puke. Sin stinks. In that tabernacle plan, there's this altar before you enter into the holiness of God. And it's an altar of incense, making its way a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Ephesians 5 and 2. As Christ has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. 1 Corinthians 2, for we are unto God a sweet-smelling savor of Christ. If I walked into the presence of God all by myself, without the covering of God, I wouldn't get past the front door. It's like something smells in here. Got to get rid of that. But when I'm hidden in him and I'm covered by him, the holiness of God just says, that smells wonderful. And the righteousness of God says, oh man, something really sweet in the air today. And the justice of God that demands a sacrifice, all it can smell is that righteousness of the Christ. If you look close underneath his robes, you see a lot of little feet. Mine are under there too. But my life is hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. Praise God. If you're glad for grace and mercy and that we can walk into his presence today, lift up your hands, lift up your voice, your heart today, and just begin to love him and thank him for that. If there's somebody in the house, you haven't been to the water today, but you'd like to go, you haven't been to the altar today, but you'd like to go, you know you can come. Bring your sin. Bring it right down into His presence. Bring your sin. Bring it right down into the presence of God. Bring your failure. Come on now, you that have been haunted by what you were before you came, and the devil's been telling you that you'll never get over that, bring it down to this altar right now. You that are still struggling with things that should be under the blood, bring it down to this altar right now. And just say, I'm going to hide under Him. Come on. You need to disappear. You need to get yourself completely covered up by the presence of a God that loves you and knows you. Praise God. Come on, church, pray. I need every Holy Ghost-filled person in this house praying right now. Extend your faith toward these. I need some people to come pray with these that are in the altar today. Come and lay your hand on them. Praise God. Each of these that are praying, they need somebody to join with them and say, I believe God can cover all that. I don't believe you have to walk with that anymore. I believe you can make your way right into the presence of a holy God. People seeking the face of God right now. Church, pray. Church, do the work of the church now. Somebody be the intercessor. Somebody be the mediator.